Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What is up, family? Welcome to Speak. It's about to be your favorite sports show. If it's your first time watching, we're glad to have you. I am Emmanuel Acho, but more importantly, on the far end, that is Slick Rick DeBuecher, knower of all things sports, but very, very insightful when it comes to the hoops. To his right, it's the brilliant Joy Taylor. She needs no introduction. You already know who that is. And then Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy, 15,000 yards in the NFL. A little bit more than that, honestly. I took a couple yards from him. But staying in the NFL, how about Aaron Rodgers? Because the chaos, it continues. In case you did not hear, the general manager for the Green Bay Packers, he spoke yesterday, Brian Gutekunst, and he said that he tried to contact Rodgers many times in January about the offseason plans, but could not get a hold of him. Y'all have to listen to this.
And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we had to make some, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
Okay, bring it in. This is maybe the most confusing story in all of sports. If y'all haven't been keeping up, I will break it down for you. About 2-3 weeks ago, star quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he goes on Pat McAfee's show and he says he would desire to play for the New York Jets going forward. Those were Aaron Rodgers' words. He said that he had to go to this darkness retreat, and when he came out of the darkness retreat, he found out that his team, the Green Bay Packers, were shopping him. And based upon realizing they were not committed to him, he was like, oh, well, then I'm good on the Green Bay Packers. Well, cut to yesterday, the general manager for the Packers, he said that he'd been trying to get in touch with Aaron Rodgers the duration of the offseason, but Rodgers ain't picking up the phone. So he had to call Rodgers' agent, David Dunn, I believe, of Athletes First, had to call Rodgers' agent and has been communicating with Rodgers' agent, but not Rodgers himself. I don't get it. Phones work. I want to talk to LeSean, I'll call Shady. Shady want to talk to me, he'll call me. Shady don't need to call the producers and tell the producers, hey, I want to talk to Acho. That's just not how it works. But for the Packers and Rodgers, that's been how it's working. Joy, there are clearly two distinct sides to this whole complex equation. The Packers side and Rodgers side. But the question is, what side is Joy Taylor on?
Well, I'm on the side of chaos and anarchy, so I'm winning right now because this is messy. But I really can't commit to a side here because on one hand, with the Packers, I can't stand how the Packers do business. It's the worst. The worst. Let Davante Adams walk out the door and replace him with what? It's like every situation that they present, I can find a way to get on Aaron Rodgers' side. But then you got Aaron Rodgers, who is like a peacock trying to hide behind a pencil. Look at me. Don't look at me. All day. Like, what do you want the attention? Do you not want the attention? Do you want us to talk about you? Do you not? You do a show every week. Then you tell everything, all the business, but then you don't want anybody discussing the business. I can't keep up. So I'm on the side of messy, and I'm receiving a delicious platter of chaos with the situation. It's very messy. It's hard to be on the Packers side. I don't like how they do business. They're very conservative until they're aggressive. But when they're aggressive, they don't bother to let their stars know they plan on being aggressive. And then Aaron Rodgers is out here every single week talking, but then doesn't want anyone to talk about him. I don't know, but I appreciate the content.
Let me ask you this then, Joy, because if I am a listener at home, and thank you all so much for watching, if I'm a listener at home, I'm asking myself, how can you not like how the Packers do business? The way the Packers did business, which put them in this predicament, drafting Jordan Love in the first round while Aaron Rodgers was still present, is the exact same thing the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers back in the 2004 draft, maybe 2005, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers while Brett Favre was present. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years, and then he took over. Jordan Love has now sat for 3 years, and it appears that he will take over. So if I'm a viewer, I might be confused as to how you don't like the way the Packers do business. What is it about the way they do business that you don't like?
Well, sure. If you like to be competitive every single year, you like to win the division and, you know, not do a whole lot in the playoffs, or maybe go to an NFC championship game every once in a while. If you like for your quarterback to win a lot of individual awards, throw for a bunch of yards, and be fun and competitive, then yeah. If you want to be in contention for Super Bowls, then that they're not the team that you should root for. I know it's title town, but they had Brett Favre and then they had Aaron Rodgers for the past 30 years, and they have two titles to show for it. Now, Super Bowls are hard to win. We know that. So whatever standard you hold your team to, I suppose, is what you deem success. I think it's a bit of an underachievement to have a four-time MVP for 16, 18 years that Aaron Rodgers has been there, and you've only been to one Super Bowl.
Very true.
So what standard do you hold the Packers to? Because a lot of that has to do with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has never been bad. Even the year that they drafted Jordan Love, it's like a kind of conspiracy. Like, he was on the downturn. Was he? Because he then went back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah.
So to me, the two have to supplement each other. You have an all-time talent in Aaron Rodgers. What have you done year after year to continue to put pieces around him to put you in contention for a Super Bowl?
Shady, you break this down. I know you respect Aaron Rodgers' ability because you have to. You are incredibly talented. You got two All-Pros to your own right, six Pro Bowls, so you are an elite. You got the Hall of Fame waiting on you one day as well. It will reflect that jacket just a little golder, and it'll have legitimized buttons.
I know I can't
the next one will be for free. Yeah. I want to ask you, whose side are you on? But you can also respond to where Joy took it as far as, like, is it the Packers' fault that the whole situation is like this?
I mean, I agree with Joy. Like, first of all, I mean, they caused us on themselves. You went out there and drafted Jordan Love, not in the third round, fourth round, second round, the first round. Mm-hmm. So that's like, okay, well, your replacement is in the building. So what did A-Rod do? He took that, right? And then he got two more MVPs? Hmm. So my thing is, you already started this issue. And if you remember, A-Rod was pissed about that. You didn't consult with me. You didn't tell me. You didn't even warn me. Hey, we're thinking about getting a guy. You didn't say nothing like that. So there always was going to be beef. Then the more success came, that was like a slap in the face. Then when Jordan Love got a chance to play, I guess the Chiefs, somehow with A-Rod, whatever, and he played, he looked terrible. So everybody's like, yeah, right? I win again. So when I look at this situation between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, I got to say that I'm on Aaron's side because the Packers started this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another, the last part is, like, you know who you're dealing with. One thing I got to give Aaron Rodgers credit on, and I have an issue with it sometimes, the way he comes off, but that's who he's always been.
Fair.
So why are y'all so surprised? You keep calling it. Okay. That's not the first time the GM was trying to reach Aaron Rodgers and couldn't get a hold of it.
Right. Sure.
You know?
Sure. But Shady, here's where I got to push back on that. Slick, as we get to you, is you said Aaron Rodgers was surprised. And he was.
I was surprised,
but
too.
I'm thinking about this, right? Relationships and how relationships start. Slick, I'm going to come to you on this. Because I think about Aaron Rodgers.
He'd be ready for it, don't he? Relationship ends how it starts. I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm gonna let it like.
I think like, okay, I'm gonna make it simple for the for the viewer at home, and try to make it simple for myself, because I'm doing this off the top of my head. If a man cheats on his partner with you and begins dating you, can you be surprised when he cheats on you and begins dating somebody else?
No, you're gonna lose him how you got him.
That part, you're gonna lose him how you got him.
Yeah.
The Packers got into this relationship with Aaron Rodgers by, figuratively speaking, cheating on Brett Favre.
Mm.
They had Brett Favre, were married to Brett Favre, if you will, figuratively speaking, if you can ride with my analogy, and they cheated on Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers, drafted him in the first round. Now, they were with Aaron Rodgers for 12 good years as a starter. 12 good years, cheated on Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. Joy just said, you're going to lose him how you got him. 15 years as a starter now, but at the time of which they drafted Jordan Love was 12. So you're going to lose him how you got him. So I don't know how Aaron Rodgers can be surprised, because he got into the relationship via infidelity, and he's about to get out of the relationship via infidelity, Slick.
Yeah, not only that, but Aaron Rodgers has told us that he's been fighting this battle for other veteran players up until now with the Green Bay Packers. Doesn't like the way the Green Bay Packers have said goodbye to other veteran players.
He did say that.
So it can't be a surprise. But I need to clear something up before I give you my take.
Clear it up. Clear it up.
This idea that, well, you can just pick up the phone and get a hold of a professional athlete. Right. Okay? I've covered sports for a long time, right. And I've certainly talked to enough administrators with teams who have tried to get a hold of men like yourselves during the off season. Good luck with that, okay? I'm not saying you guys are like that now. Otto, you're very responsive. The truth of the matter is, Shady, I'm not so sure. The truth of the matter is, it's not that easy to get a hold of professional athletes, particularly if you work with management.
That's true.
They may recognize the number. Yeah. They're not necessarily picking up. They're not necessarily calling.
Let me interject real quick. Shady, though, what's the one number you going to pick up? If who's calling?
Andy Reid.
Sure.
What's up, Big Red?
Sure.
Everything good?
But if money on the line. When money calls, I don't miss a call for money.
Okay.
I don't miss a call that got to do with money.
But if you know the money's going to come, like, y'all got to pay me my
not
money.
Not even that.
If you owe me my money, I ain't about to answer when you call.
Not even that.
What's up, coach? Yeah, not. Hello? Yeah, it's a different answer.
Right.
Instead of, hey, hello, what's going on, coach? You know the difference.
All right, so I'm on the Packers side, and this is going to sound a little bit kind of.
You want to.
Hold on.
Oh, slick.
I'm on the Packers side because of what Joy said. First of all, it's hard to pick a side. But I'm on the Packers side because of my esteem for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time Hall of Fame quarterback.
Facts.
Is Brian Gutekunst an all-time Hall of Fame GM? Is Mark Murphy an all-time team president, executive, whatever? We've never put him in that category. So because of what I think of Aaron Rodgers and what he has at stake, there's more for him at stake, and so he has to do things different. And basically what he's done is he's gotten into the mud with the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand. You're everything that he is, and they don't call you on Jordan Love, all right? And they should have done you the service of doing that. But you re-upped with them. How many years are we going to hold on to this? How long are
Forever.
We going to
Eternity.
Begrudge Okay,
into
but
the afterlife.
Okay, so who hurts you? Who does it hurt the most in operating the way Aaron Rodgers has to this point? I would say it's Aaron Rodgers. Mark Murphy's not going to, he doesn't lose anything. Brian Gutekunst doesn't lose anything because they're behind that Green Packers shield. We're looking at Aaron Rodgers and how he's conducting himself. That's all on him. And again, because of how much I or what high regard I have for him as a quarterback and what he's accomplished, it's hard for me now to be in a position where I go, God, Aaron, could you like, you're in the mess. Could we clean this up? You're better than this. You're bigger than this. And that's why I'm on the Packers side of this equation, because I think Aaron could handle it.
Take us home,
I think you're trying to apply reason to emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the privilege...
I've been accused of that before.
When you have the privilege of being able to be emotional over reasonable, meaning you've made your money, meaning you will be in the Hall of Fame first ballot, meaning you have your MVPs, you have your Super Bowl, you can kick and scream and be emotional. That's you've put yourself in that position.
But
I'm still
do you need to be? Is it in your best interest? Is it in your best interest
to be? We're talking about the NFL, the most... the most competitive, ego-driven, I'm better than you and everybody else all day. Who? He's a bum for life, forever. I'm better than everybody. All these bums, out of here.
Speaking the most language right now.
He's talking about that kind of, and by the way, I'm not saying that as a negative thing. I think you have to believe in yourself that way in order to accomplish that level of success. Like, that's, when you look in the mirror, you see that I'm him. Period. Every day. Mm-hmm. So when you operate that way, that's how you move through the world. That's his reality. And it's not wrong. It might not come, might be palatable to everybody, but he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has four MVPs. He has a Super Bowl. He's got all the money he could come up with and spend on all the silent cave retreats he wants to. If he wants to be emotional about it, he's going to be emotional about it. Who's going to do something? What you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not saying
but
he can't be. I'm just saying, does he have to be?
But does he have to be? That is the
have
question.
Have to, want to, need to.
Yeah. He is. That's all we know. Well, speaking of him, Bill Belichick, the greatest coach, at least when it comes down to winning Super Bowls in the history of the National Football League. But there was a quote yesterday that he made that will lead you to believe he should be, could be, might be on the hot seat. Wow. That's next on Speaking.
Better call Tommy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, Bill Belichick, we know he has won 6 Super Bowl titles in New England, but the Patriots have missed the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 seasons. Owner Robert Kraft was asked if Belichick can survive another non-playoff season, and he didn't directly answer the question, but he did say they're doing whatever they can to win, close quote. We'll get this. Bill Belichick was asked why the Patriots fans should be optimistic, and he answered, the last 25 years. Close quote. Bring us on, Cam. We got to break this one down. I hated Shady, this quote from Bill Belichick. And the reason I hated it was because if there is a sinking stock, the only reason that I'm not going to sell my shares of the stock is because the CEO is convincing me that the future is bright.
Mm. Right?
We've all owned shares in certain stocks, and you see the stock is plummeting. But the only reason we're holding on to it is because we believe a new product is coming out, a new invention might be coming out, or there is something that the CEO is leading me to believe about the future of the product that will keep me to hold on to the present. But if the CEO starts talking about the last 25 years as to holding on to the present, I'm out. I'm selling. Bill Belichick, figuratively speaking, is the CEO of the Patriots. At the point in which the question is asked, hey, 2-5, why should we be excited about the future of the Patriots? And you tell me the last 25 years, that math is not mathing. So when I'm thinking about Bill Belichick, I'm starting to have my doubts. I said last season, I'll own it, I'll admit it, I said last season would send Bill Belichick into retirement. It didn't. He hasn't chosen to retire yet. But I do believe that Bill Belichick still has some things left to prove. Let me ask you, 2-5, does Bill Belichick have anything left to prove? And if so, what is it?
Yes, he has a lot to prove. The first thing he has to prove is it really Bill Belichick that we all think the greatest coach of all time is? Or is he the Belichick that, without Tom Brady, has no real success? When I look at the success of Bill Belichick without Tom Brady, because you can't remove the 6 championships. You can't remove that. You can't remove that era with the Patriots. What they did was phenomenal. When you take that quarterback number 12, right, in the last 3 years, they've been in the playoffs one time.
One time.
Got smoked by 30 by the Bills, a divisional team you see every year, twice a year, where Tom Brady has went to the playoffs in every 3 years, and he's went to a Super Bowl and won it.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
He did that
if you look at the numbers between Belichick with Brady and without Brady. Without Brady, he's 55-59 as a career without Tom Brady, right? When he was with the Browns, right, for the 3 years or something like that, he was 30-34. Hmm. So it's like I want to give him credit. I want to say when Bill Belichick had Tom Brady, it was Bill and Tom. It wasn't. When I look at this guy, it's like what makes him such a great coach? They talk about developing these players. Well, Tom Brady was there. He developed him. You know, he caused this culture of winning. Where? Because when Tom left, the culture of winning left. I don't see these players developing, getting better. I look at their quarterbacks. They're not getting better. I look at their position players. They're not getting better. You spend all this money on defense, right? That defense ain't super great. They're okay. They're solid. I just don't know where the greatness is. I'll give you an example. Andy Reid. No matter wherever Andy Reid goes, whoever Andy Reid has as a player, as a running back, as a receiver, as a quarterback, he's going to win games. He's going to take a bad team and make them a good team.
Mm-hmm.
He does it over and over again. When he got with the Eagles, they weren't a good team. They became a good team over time. He leaves Philadelphia, right? He goes to the Chiefs. They weren't a good team before Andy Reid got there. They instantly become a good team. So when I look at Andy Reid, and I don't want to preach for Andy Reid because I love him, but I'm just being honest, I see a great coach. I see players developing. I see him making players get better and better.
When you look at Belichick, what do you see?
I see Tom Brady. I see him benefiting off the success of Tom Brady because when Tom Brady left, I can't see or find where Belichick has been successful. And the only thing I could go back to is Tom Brady. So without Tom Brady, he's 55-59. Mm. That's the truth.
Strong.
So are we
you can say whatever you want. You can respond to Shady. You can say,
you got a lot to prove, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have enough time. I guess, Shady, my issue with your take on Belichick is that you take him from he's not great, so then what is he? He's nothing. He's nothing without Tom Brady. And I think that's just taking it way too far. Does he deserve all the greatness that he's been given as a result of all those Super Bowls? We can debate that. We can go back and forth in terms of where he deserves to be. But the sustained success that they had, that can't just be the quarterback. That and when, again, I didn't play for, I never played for Belichick, but I've heard a number of players talk about what it's like to play for him and the attention to detail and the game plans that they have. Like, I can't ignore that that's part of it. And I do know that when it comes to coaching, taking a team from being bad to good is not the same as taking a team from good to great. Sometimes there are coaches who can do one or the other. Some can do both. Very rare can they do both. I don't know if Belichick can take a team from bad to good. What he demonstrated is that he can keep a team at a great level for a long time, and I can't ignore the success of that.
That's true. Long is a long time.
Now, here's my question, is how he did that for the last 25 years, I don't believe works in today's game. I believe that what he has to prove is that he can evolve. Because what troubled me about last season in particular was you're bringing in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to be your offensive coordinators. Why? Because of the familiarity? And now you're bringing in Bill O'Brien. Why? Because of the familiarity? Like, I want to know that you're going out and getting the best people possible to evolve in today's game. Not you're so wed to the way you've done things in the past, even the way you handle players. Like Mac Jones, I don't know if he's going to be the starter or not. Is that the best way? Did we see Mike McDaniel handle Tua that way? Or was he putting his arms around that young quarterback and saying, you're my guy, and I'm going to develop
him? Putting confidence in him.
Like, the Patriots are in a different place now than they were with Tom Brady. Bill Belichick needs to recognize that if they're going to have success. But, for me, that's
real quick.
That's what he has to prove.
But he's always been that. Because even with different cornerbacks and different positions, different running backs, he played that game. You're going to start, you're not going to start. They all talk about it, even with Tom Brady. See, my thing with Belichick is, like, when I look at, is he a great coach? I look at all his coaching trees, right? Soon they leave New England, they don't do nothing. If we say that, we can say her name, all the coaches under this tree. They don't have no success. When they leave the Patriots, they don't have no success. And now, since Tom Brady left, he don't have no success. So I'm still trying to find what makes him this great coach.
Joy, get in there.
I mean, perhaps he just had a great system for the perfect time.
My boy, can I be my boy 12? Can he be that?
No. I think Tom Brady was the perfect quarterback for Bill Belichick.
Right.
For that era and time with New England.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it's not just Tom Brady's talent that provided the winning there.
Right.
Tom Brady also habitually took less money than he could have taken.
That's true.
He is the type of personality that elevates other players. He made people that wouldn't have been good in any other system great with their system.
I agree.
So
I agree.
They in a lot of ways, they needed each other. Now, Tom Brady needed Belichick far less than Belichick needed him, which is what we're seeing now. But I can't ignore what actually happened. Like, what actually happened is they had two decades of essential dominance and won six championships together. There's a whole other side of the ball, which played massive roles in multiple championships that they won.
Right.
I think Tom would also acknowledge that. I know I gotta be, you know, I don't want to be unsexy here, but the offensive line was a massive part of their success. Tom Brady does not like to get touched. We know that about his play. That offensive line was excellent year after year after year. So there were a lot of things that had to fall in place. He also played in the AFC East. That helps. It plays a role. There's factors. Winning a championship is so hard. So many things have to go your way. So many breaks. To be able to win consistently and be favored to win championships year after year after year is excellence. So the question is, what is Bill Belichick? Is he the greatest coach of all time? I think this time, particularly Brady going to Tampa, winning a championship, being in the playoffs every single year that he was in Tampa, that is a little bit of a mark on who was really responsible for what happened in New England. If he's the greatest coach of all time, I think that's up for debate.
Right.
He is a great coach.
Yeah.
Greatest of all time? Yeah. We know Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. He's gone to the edges of the earth to prove that. That's really the question with... So I'm in the middle of you two. I think there is... Brady deserves a lot of credit for what happened there. And I do think that it's going to be very difficult for Belichick to evolve past the Patriot way into this modern NFL.
What I'm interested in, and Kashady, I hear you, and to a large degree, I do agree, is like,
You mean my opinion, or you mean the stats, the numbers?
Everything. Okay. Everything. Because truth be told, Slick, when I think about Belichick, I have to side with Shady on the fact of, like, without Tom Brady, even when Matt Castle got hurt, we say, well, they were 11-5.
Right.
Yeah, but they did miss the playoffs. Also, 11-5 sounds good until you compare it to what they were the year before, 19-0.
Mm.
Like, let's not get it twisted. 11-5 is good if you're usually 11-5. But if you have a 19-0 roster and you go 11-5, you ain't really all that nice.
Right.
That's a lot of losing compared to what you were.
Right.
Now cut two. You go 7-9 with Cam Newton. Then you go 9-8 and you lose by 30 in the playoffs.
8-9.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they went 8-9 this past year.
Oh, yeah,
I think they
went
8-9 the year they went to the playoffs, and you lose, you do have to start to ask yourself, okay, can we put it in context? Let's talk hoops for a second. We all know Michael Jordan without Phil Jackson was an incredible scorer,
yeah,
an incredible talent. And we can acknowledge that he was an incredible scorer, right, an incredible talent. Mm-hmm. And then we say, man, when Phil Jackson showed up, they started winning rings and rings and rings, right, and rings and rings.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick, I've always said, is an incredible defensive mind. An incredible defensive mind. Do I think that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time? That's where I'm with Joy. No. By resume, is he the greatest of all time?
There you go.
Sure. If you just want to look at, if you just want to be lazy and say he got the most chips, I won't argue that. But if you want to go that extra step with 2-5 and say, well, anywhere a guy like Andy Reid goes, they have success.
What do you think Andy Reid would do with that team right there? You see what I'm saying?
But I think that's where I think you have to keep in context what it was. Like, that was a long run of being competitive, having different versions of that team, having different stars, having different role players. That I think both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick deserve credit for, because Belichick also, it's nice to have the same coach. It's nice to have the same coach. Like, the organization, the ownership was good.
But how
the ownership
much does
supported
it, how much
everything.
Does it matter?
Right.
The reason
right.
I say
I think
that
it
is,
all matters. It matters because it happened.
The same coach matter. Because if I'm Tom Brady, it is nice to have the same coach. He left and linked up with a new coach who had never touched him before, and Bruce Arians, who had a completely different philosophy.
But we're not going to argue Tom Brady's talent. What I'm saying is what happened happens, right? We can't go back and erase history.
Mm-mm.
They won those chips.
Yeah.
He was there. Everything fell in place. Garnacchia was there.
Right.
The defenses were there. The Hall of Famers who played alongside were there. We can play the what-if game, but we have what we know, you know? And we have what we know Brady did after.
Correct.
So
the
question is, what is Belichick going to do after Brady?
Yeah.
And that, to me, is what will determine the conversation of is he the greatest of all time. Because to me, when I think of coaching, great coaches, Don Shula, Jimmy Johnson, Joe Gibbs, Bill Walsh.
Right.
There's so many different Lombardi, like, and you go to basketball, Coach K, like decades and decades of excellence and winning. Kerr, Phil Jackson, like what makes the greatest coach of all time?
Yeah.
It's really a very, very nuanced conversation. I think talents, John Wooden, like you can go on and on and on. Talent is a much easier conversation
to have. So if I ask you, give me one or two things that makes him so great. Because I can name all the coaches you talked about. I can give you something about
them. For me, Belichick, I think it was longevity, consistency, the defenses, because the defenses played massive roles in multiple championships.
Okay.
And I think he paired with the perfect talent for his system. So whether that's the universe or God or fate or whatever you want to call it, because they got him in the sixth round, Brady fully bought into what Belichick was preaching, and he was the ultimate Jesus to the Father for that,
situation. That's a good answer. I just feel like that was cool for them. Now it's just totally different.
Well,
like, can't find that. We can't find it no more. So I guess it was cool where Brady was there, but for some reason, this great coach, he can't do the same thing or even close to that.
Shady, what's your take on Greg Popovich as an NBA coach?
I think he's a great coach.
Sorry, I forgot Popovich.
I think he's a great coach. Yeah.
He hasn't won a championship without Tim Duncan. I see parallels between the two.
Well, they study each other in a lot of ways. Yeah.
And the two support each other. And it takes a certain coach to be able to recognize that talent and utilize it and put the right pieces around it to take advantage of it. And I feel like that is what Bill Belichick did, and I can't take that away from him. Now, he built on the fact that he had Brady, much like Duncan, guys that were great players who were willing to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick was able to utilize that to infuse that in all the other players that he put around them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a talent,
but
that's an ability that not everybody has.
And then a great transition because we're about to get into basketball, but we wouldn't say that Pop was the greatest coach of all time.
Some people would.
A lot of people would.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
Who are you going to put ahead of him?
Phil Jackson.
Phil did it with Michael Jordan, and then he did it with Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep, okay.
But he always had, I mean, a great. He had two Tom Brady's.
That's cool. That's cool to say that. But every Warriors go, he's going to win. That's my.
He did it.
I mean, for the. I mean, I'm talking about New York.
No, no, no.
I'm just sitting here and talking about.
Not just New York.
Sitting here talking about the most part. Come on, for the most part.
Coming up, staying in hoops. LeBron James is back, but did the King actually help or hurt the Lakers in his return? Are the Lakers actually better off down the stretch without LeBron James?
Mm. Well, Sunday night might give you an answer. Oh, we can't wait to talk about
this. This was heated up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now get this, LeBron James made his long-awaited return on Sunday, but the Lakers took an L. They're the ninth seed in the West currently and have a spot in the play-in tournament. But LeBron said, quote, to hell with the play-in. We can actually be a top six seed, close quote. Slick, you have been very up and down on the Lakers. You provided some of the greatest insight I have seen on television in regards to what is going on with the Lakers. LeBron came back.
Yeah.
But actually snapped what was, I believe, a three-game Lakers win streak, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so a little juxtaposition there for Lakers fans emotionally and in reality. Will LeBron James actually help, or is he hurting the Lakers?
Well, he certainly hurt them on Sunday. And he not only hurt them because of the impact that he had on them on the floor, but the fact is that what I've been told is he didn't tell Darvin Ham that he was coming back until that morning. Now, if it's a night game, okay, so I got shoot around. I got all day to kind of figure out my game plan. But I got LeBron James coming back in, and I didn't know that, and I got a 1:30 tip. Mm. Like, I'm sure that's why he came off the bench and also why they struggled early on when he was on the floor because they just – Darvin wasn't sure what to do, wasn't sure what to run with him. And there's also what made the Lakers great while he was out.
You said great?
Great.
Well, very good.
He said great. He's already said.
I appreciate you guys checking on my word usage.
That made them
successful.
There we go.
While he was out, was that one? They played with desperation.
Yeah.
They played like underdogs,
mm-hmm.
and defensively, everybody got after it
because
they didn't know how much they were going to be able to score. And as a result, they played fast. They played with one of the fastest pace, top five pace. Mm. When he came back Sunday, they fell to the bottom. Whereas if they continue that, it would be the slowest pace in the league. I don't know that they can play that way. I don't know that he can play fast at 38, particularly if he's trying to protect that tendon in his ankle. So there's two parts here. Number one, what made them successful in the way that they played? I don't know if they can play that way with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play slower, which is not going to play into what made them effective before. And the second part is, when you have LeBron James on the floor, you don't think of yourself as an underdog anymore. So you don't play with the same desperation or energy, and you can't help but, you know, Austin Reeves has the ball. Is he going to say, I got this, LeBron? Or is it going to be, I'm going to give you the ball
Say what you need to say then, Slick, because you're doing a lot of talking, but I want to hear the answer to the question, is LeBron going to help or hurt the Lakers? I need to know this as a fan.
Reason that I'm equivocating is because it's hard for me to say that LeBron James is going to hurt
because
them.
Of his name, not because, necessarily his game.
Part of his game, because he can close better than anybody that they have. If they're in a close game, I like the idea of having LeBron James there as opposed to D'Angelo Russell or Anthony Davis or anybody else. If I can put the ball in his hands when I need a bucket at the end of the game and it's tied, I like having LeBron James. My question is, can you make it a one-possession game with LeBron James playing? Because not everybody's going to play the way that they have till now. So if you want my answer, I think he's ultimately going to hurt them simply because they can't make that transition. They can't get that chemistry together in the short time that they have.
Well, your answer hurt me. I will say that. Joy, where do you stand on this? Will LeBron help or hurt the Lakers?
He's going to help the Lakers. I hear everything that you're saying, Slick. But at the end of the day, if I present the Lakers trying to make the playoffs without LeBron James or the Lakers trying to make the playoffs with LeBron James, which hand are you going to choose? You can take your chances with LeBron James being on the floor.
Sure. Sure.
Especially if he gets back to the form he was before he got injured, averaging 29-8-6.
So that's where I disagree, because I think that they've demonstrated they can get scoring. The problem is that LeBron can't defend. Like, honestly.
Okay, well,
that's where the role players need to step up.
I understand the rotations and not a lot of time, but at the end of the day, I'm going to take my chances with LeBron James being on the floor.
I don't fault you for that.
If we don't make it, but LeBron was out there, then that was what was meant to be.
Well,
I can't go into this thinking that LeBron James being on the floor, even with the scoring that he provides, and I understand the lineups and all that. I hear what you're saying. But it's LeBron James. I gotta get him on the floor.
No, I get that. But that's the catch-22. You can't not play LeBron James.
Yeah.
Even if you go, God, we can't play. I mean, this is regular season, too. If we were in the playoffs.
All day LeBron.
It's different.
All day LeBron.
It's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, like, I'm in a race, and I got to play hard every night, and I got to play with desperation every night against these young teams that are going to get up and down. Can I get up and down? Can I stay with them defensively? That's where, because the other team is not looking at, oh, that's LeBron James. They're looking at, that dude just came back.
That's a wounded dog.
I mean, I'm going to go after him.
Just to even have the conversation, is the Lakers better without LeBron or with LeBron? That's like a crazy question to ask.
It sounds crazy.
Let me put the crown on before I talk about the king.
Do that.
First of all, let's slow our brakes here. Let's pump the brakes, right? The guy missed some games. Was he not hurt?
He was.
From his ankle, right? Popped the tendon?
Says he's still hurt.
Okay, so my thing is, that takes time. Not even just being injured. If you sit down, right, you sit on the bench, okay, you don't play for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, it may take you a day or a game to get back to playing shape, running around, getting the rhythm, catch, shoot. Like, all that stuff takes some time, right? I'm not saying it takes 3, 4 games, but he just came back.
Oh, you should say that.
I guarantee you this. Next game, LeBron James, we'll see the LeBron that we're used to seeing.
Here's what's fascinating, though, 2-5. I don't know. We saw the LeBron we're used to seeing. If we're being real, we didn't see the Lakers we've seen in the last 13 games. I'm actually with Slick. Like, it sounds asinine to say that the Lakers without LeBron James are better. Just like we talked about 20 minutes ago, how dare you say the Patriots should move on from Bill Belichick. But if you look at the Lakers, who were 8-5 without LeBron James, that's the third best record in the West over that stretch, behind only the Kings and behind the Grizzlies, and neither of those teams are fighting for that play-in seed.
Right.
So that really is the best record in the West as it pertains to the games that matter for the teams that need those games. I see LeBron play and how the Lakers change their style of play, and I do ask myself, would they have been better without LeBron? I'm with you. Eventually, when LeBron is back and the team is fully meshed, they'll be great. But Lakers don't have games for
it. But I'm not saying, like he took this game to get himself back right. So you don't think that some of the role players are going to play even with more confidence when LeBron James on the court with him? Think about that for a second.
Here's what I think, and let's be real. I think, because I was a role player the entirety of my NFL career, and you were a star player the entirety of your NFL career, most of it. Role players.
Are you going to feel good if I'm out there, if I'm not out there?
I'll defer to you.
Shady play? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, that's the thing. I'll defer to you. Like, I will cower more. When I play next to D'Amico Ryans, current head coach for the Houston Texans.
Okay.
D'Amico's here. So I ain't got to do nothing. When D'Amico was gone and I was playing next to D'Amico's backup, now I'm more vocal. Now I'm making all the calls. Yo, lightning, yo, thunder, yo, rain, yo, check, yo, say. But when D'Amico's here, D'Amico's here. Whatever D'Amico says goes.
I hear you on that, but this is also LeBron who elevates players. Who speaks life into role players? Who
has.
Puts guys?
Walk on water.
Has? What do you mean has?
Oh,
he got stuff on the line too.
Austin Reeves and some of these guys have played far better since LeBron was out than when he was there. That's just the reality.
They are playing better. I think Austin Reeves is. But my thing is, so why can't he play good when LeBron's on the court too?
Because you have to play through LeBron. Now you are a complimentary. You're a complimentary player. Now you don't have the same touches. Mm. Like Austin Reeves can get some things done.
Yeah.
Now I'm over here waiting to read off of LeBron. That's why he's always used veteran players.
That's the point, though.
Because like they understand what their role is. When you have young guys, especially just introduced to the team, introduced to the Lakers, like if this was the beginning of the year, we'd be having a different conversation.
Right.
They don't have time. Like if it takes them 2 or 3 games, not just him. But them collectively.
That's why you got a coach in them. That's what a coach is there for.
Yeah, the voice.
Make it happen, him. Make it happen.
Easily said.
LeBron is back. Done. We will see what happens there. Well, Lamar Jackson, as we transition to the NFL, he ain't going to be back in Baltimore, not if he gets his wishes, because he requested a trade. But what in the world should Lamar Jackson do next? Cannot wait to talk about this one. Most fascinating.
Where the cash at? Where the cash at?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, let's get to the NFL, because this story gets more interesting by the day. Lamar Jackson, he requested a trade from the Ravens back on March 2nd. Well, we didn't find out until March 27th. Baltimore's president, Sashi Brown, said they're committed to getting something done. Head coach John Harbaugh added, quote, "It's a monetary thing that can be figured out." Well, I guess it can be figured out, but will it be figured out? Lamar Jackson is kind of in an impasse as it stands right now. He wants more money. He doesn't want to play in Baltimore. Those are his words. Those are not mine. I don't actually think he wants to leave Baltimore. I just think he wants more money. And he will go wherever the money goes. But at this point in time, Lamar Jackson has to do a couple things. His greatest leverage, it lies prior to April 27th, because that is the day of the draft. The Ravens, Shady, you know this, they hold the power. But the Ravens got to figure out who they want to draft.
Right.
Because if Lamar's not going to be there, do they take a quarterback in the fourth round? Because they only have, I believe, a first-round pick and then a fourth-round pick and then some other accessory light picks.
Yeah.
So Lamar Jackson does still hold the power because he can manipulate who the Ravens do or do not draft if he's going to be there or if he's not going to be there. Remember, the Ravens' old coordinator just came from Georgia. Georgia's won a couple national championships. Georgia's quarterback is now entering the draft, not supposed to be a high draft pick, but crazier things have happened. So Lamar Jackson holds a lot of power. What in the world do you think he should do next?
Lil Wayne's one of my favorite rappers.
As he should be.
And,
the end of the
and
show.
I remember in high school, I trained, and he used to be like, money on my mind, money on my mind. Money's on his mind right now. If it's the Ravens, if it's the Colts, if it's the Falcons, whoever's going to pay me my money, that's what I'm playing for. Whoever's going to pay me my true value. He spoke about that, right? So when I look at the situation, I hear what Harbaugh saying, hey, I want my quarterback, we want him. This is how negotiations happen. And he's right. I think what people are not really realizing is that when it comes to negotiating, it happens like that. You know, I'm pulling, they're pulling, I want this, I want that. And they normally figure something out. Well, I think with this particular situation, he's trying to be the good guy. He didn't do a lot of pulling. Let's talk. I'm going to come to camp. I'm going to beat the young guys. I'm going to do it the right way. But now that didn't work. So now, you know what? Fine. I got to show y'all that I mean what I say. I'm all about my money. Money's on my mind. Trade me. If y'all don't want me, y'all don't want to show me my true value, I want to trade. I want to trade right now. So now I feel like the Ravens know that he's serious and he means this. We might could either get a reasonable negotiation, a reasonable number, right? Lamar probably ain't get everything guaranteed. Mm-hmm. That probably won't happen. And he said that he's not looking for that. But he has to get something with his true value. And if he doesn't get that, he's willing to be traded and go to a team that's going to pay him his true money.
Shady, you played...
Because money is on his mind.
You played 12 years in the league. You won 2 Super Bowls, 2-time All-Pros, 6 Pro Bowls. Don't all athletes, at least NFL players, think that their value is higher than it actually is? That's what makes us great. I can speak to it a little bit, but I know you can speak to it in large part. So if Lamar is saying, I want somebody to pay me my true value, his perceived true value might be different than the Ravens' perceived value of him. Don't you think that's also a potential issue?
Your true value is the team that wants you, right? You've seen players go to the market or get traded and get a bigger deal than what they should have got with the team member with.
Yeah.
I can name mad players like that. So when you say that, we as players, we feel like we better than what we are sometimes. We feel like our value is higher. But when I look at the Ravens, see, people think you got to be the best quarterback. It's not that. The market's the market, and for your team, I may be Patrick Mahomes. I may be Joe Burrow, whoever you think's the best. So you got to pay that guy that value, because if he's not there, what are they going to do?
The market, your value is what the market is willing to pay.
Come on.
And the market is the market, and right now the market is Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson is objectively better than Deshaun Watson. So right now the market is Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Now, again, the other side of that is the market is what they're willing to pay you.
Right.
Now, the owners collectively might not be willing to pay anyone ever again that Deshaun Watson contract. We're going to find out because there's two guys coming down the line to be paid in Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert who are going to get massive deals.
Yep.
And if one of them messes around and gets a fully guaranteed deal, it's a wrap for the owners because every franchise quarterback that comes up to get paid is going to demand a fully guaranteed contract. And that's what they're going to get because that's what the market is. There have been guys paid, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. They're not as good as Lamar Jackson right now. Russell Wilson is older. Kyler Murray is not as good.
Right.
So the market right now is Deshaun Watson. I think he waits. That's all he has to do now. He's made it clear he wants his money. I'm not confused about what Lamar Jackson wants at all. He wants his money, his value. Whatever that number ends up being, whatever he ends up signing for is what his value is. There's a playbook to getting paid. It's not new. It's not to reinvent the wheel. You start page one. Nice guy. Doesn't work. Flip to the bad guy. That doesn't work. Flip to getting traded. And so on and so forth.
Right.
It happens on a wheel single year, every single time a player like this comes up. The only weird thing about this is generally when you draft a quarterback and he turns out to be, I don't know, a league MVP in his prime, that team that has him usually pays him. Because the moment Lamar Jackson walks out the door, the Ravens are instantaneously the worst team in that division. Immediately the worst team. Bye, door shut, you're the worst team in the division. You're the worst team in the division. You're in a division with Mike Tomlin, who doesn't have losing seasons.
And they're getting better.
Joe Burrow and Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. You're the worst team in that division the moment he walks out the door.
Are facts?
I've heard two different definitions of market value. It's Deshaun Watson and it's what people are willing to pay you. I believe it's the latter. Whatever a team is willing to pay you the most that they're willing to pay, that's what the market is. And what we've got so far is that what people are willing to pay the Baltimore Ravens is not what Lamar Jackson wants. And so my answer to this is, what should Lamar Jackson do next is make it clear what he wants. I don't know what he wants, and I don't know that the people in the NFL know what he wants.
Mm.
And certainly the public doesn't know what he wants. So it's really hard to get on the side of Lamar Jackson and say, you know what? He deserves this. He deserves what he's asking for, and he's being done wrong. Because I don't know what he's asking for. And the court of public opinion is really the only leverage that he has right now, because he doesn't have a team out there that is offering something more than what the Baltimore Ravens have offered. So what he needs to do is create leverage. That's what he needs to do next, is create leverage somehow, some way. And the only way I can see him doing it at this point is making it clear, this is what I want because this is what I deserve, because this is what I've done. And to this point, Lamar Jackson has not connected any of those dots. So as much as I'd like to get on board with Lamar Jackson is being done wrong and he should get this because he's asked for this.
You don't think
he has
no leverage?
For.
No leverage?
What's his leverage?
Best player on the team.
The only way he can increase his leverage at this junction in time is for something to happen to a quarterback of another team or teams to realize their quarterback isn't it. We will pay attention to that story, but coming up, we got to take care of some family business that you don't want to miss. Next on Speak, don't go anywhere.
Really? I didn't get that memo.
He's the best player on the team, though, Slick.
Okay, we got to check in on our social life and some fun breaking news for the NFL. NFL players are now allowed to wear the number 0. So the question is, who should be the first to wear it for the Cowboys? That's what John Machota, Cowboys reporter, tweeted. Micah Parsons, I'm switching. Agent 0 coming soon. 2-5, how you feel about that number?
That's
0?
How us Harrisburg boys do. You know what I mean? We do what we want.
You would have looked terrible in 0.
He went from 11-9
to
0.
You would have looked terrible in 0.
I looked good in everything.
No,
come on, dog.
No, 0's round. Running backs don't look good in like round.
Whoa. Balls. Whoa.
Zero's round.
Whoa.
You're talking about the Slim Shady. Come on now.
You imagine me with 0 with the ball one hand.
You wouldn't have been an all-pro.
Never?
No. You would have been
an all-decade. No all-decade?
No. One pro ball.
Dang.
Nah, maybe. Honestly. You might have been a backup.
Backup.
Yikes. That's it for us.